Today is September 29th, 1995, and I'm here in Bound Brook, New Jersey, at the home of Carmela Piron Savage, who came through Ellis Island from Italy in 1924 when she was 7 years of age.
That's right.
And also here is your brother and sister-in-law, and your name is
Giacomo.
Giacomo Piron.
Yes.
And your wife's name?
Is Judy.
Judy Piron. And so we're here today, and I'm looking forward to whatever you can remember, and if it's some person's name or place where you were born, if you can spell it, that would be great.
Okay. Where I was born?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's start at the beginning. If you would give your birth date and tell where you were born.
I was born in Udine, Italy. Udine, northern Italy.
Mm-hmm. U-D-I-N-E.
U-D-I-N-E.
Udine.
Okay.
Italy.
Northern Italy.
Yeah.
And what was your birth date?
January 28th, 1917.
Okay. And did you live in Udine the whole time?
No. After the war, my father took us to Rocca Bacharan. Rocca Bacharan, that's near Naples, okay. 30 miles away from Naples. And we lived there till I came to this country.
Okay. So you were really just about a year old when you moved? Do you remember?
I was born right after the war.
Yeah.
World War I, my father took us to where he was born.
I see.
And from Udine to Rocca Bacharan would be about an eight hour ride. So.
By
car, I guess now, but I don't remember then. But I remember. I don't remember when I came. I was a little baby, but we had gone there to visit, and we went by train, and then my grandmother on my mother's side, her and my uncle, he was a priest. They picked us up in the horse and buggy and took us from the train station, took us to the house that I was born in.
Okay. Well, let's.
And I was 5 years old when we made that last trip, and then later on, we went back to Rocca Bacharan, and from there we came to America.
Uh-huh. When you made that trip, when you were about five, did you stay for any length of time before you returned?
I don't remember. Uh-huh. I don't remember that.
Okay.
But.
All right. Well, what was your father's name?
Carmen.
Carmen
Piron.
And your mother?
Her maiden name was Carissima Fantino.
Okay.
F-A-N-T-I-N-I.
And do you remember grandparents on both sides?
Yes. Well, I remember my grandfather and grandmother when I came on my father's side, the Perones. And I remember my grandmother on my mother's side, but my grandfather had died. My mother was only two months old. But I remember I had an uncle that was a priest, and I remember the reason we went there when I was 5 years old, because he had new bells put on the church, and the first time they were going to be rung, we had to be there, uh-huh. And that's why we made that trip.
Uh-huh. What was that uncle's name?
Giacomo.
And do you remember anything else about him?
Well, I remember him preaching. Mm-hmm. And I also remember when we got to this town where I was born, my little grandmother, she was tiny, and she came running to meet us. I remember that. Yeah.
And how about your father's mother and father? What memories do you have of them?
Well, I remember tagging along with my grandmother. Every place she went, I tagged along with her. And I used to go to church with my grandfather. And he used to buy these nuts on a string, and he put them in his pocket. And I would sit, they had chairs in church, and I would sit beside him, and he would have these nuts in his pocket, and every once in a while, to keep me quiet, I'd put one of those nuts in my mouth.
Where would you go with your grandmother?
And my grandmother, they had a vineyard up on the farm. They lived like in a small town, but then they had a farm like it was on a hill, you know, and it's still there. And every morning they would have these here people go, my great, what do they call them? Like, not slaves, but these people working for them. And she would make breakfast, and she put them, like she would make eggs. I remember her in these big, big frying pans, scrambling the eggs and the homemade bread. And
you mean for the workers?
For the workers. And she would put this big basket on her head and carry it. And it was like from here, oh, maybe from here to downtown here, say what, about a mile we had to walk. And she would say to me, hold on my apron. But I would have to go with her. And I remember milking the cow. Every morning, milking the cow. And then I had to drink the cream. That's why I'm this way.
You were forced to drink it.
Yeah, but I had to.
What was in the basket that you carried on?
The eggs for these workers.
Oh.
The eggs and the ham and not coffee, wine. My grandfather made the wine.
Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, I remember every year that they would put these grapes in these big barrels and they would stamp on them. The guys would come in and stamp on them. I remember that, too. Yeah, I remember them killing the pigs, too.
Well, now, so they lived probably in the country.
They lived, like, they had, like, two homes. One, in all summer, they would stay up in in this farm. They had a little farmhouse up there. And then one house would be, like, in a little small town, you know, about a mile away from the farm where they raised a vineyard. Had all my grandfather owned a vineyard, and I remember him, these men picking the grapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, was your grandfather? It sounds like he was somebody who had some status in the community. Was he?
Yes, he was. He was a mayor of that little town.
Do you remember anything about that?
I remember he was a politician. He was always dressed up. My grandmother did all the work.
You remember when he was dressed up?
He looked nice. Yes, my grandmother was taller than my grandfather, but he was stern. Uh-huh. I had to sit on that chair in church and don't even move. But I had to go with him. I wouldn't go with my grandmother or my mother. I would have to go with him.
And what was your mother like?
Well, my mother was very beautiful. Yeah, she was very beautiful, and she was a seamstress. And she sewed for people. She used to make wedding gowns, and so was my grandmother, her mother. And guess what? I have a granddaughter that is a fashion designer in New York. Mm-hmm. She worked for, I guess she takes it from them. Yeah. In fact, my mother made that dress she's wearing.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's the dress that your mother's wearing in the picture that we have on file.
Yes, and she made our outfits, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about your father? What was he doing for work when you were still in Italy?
I don't remember. At that time, my grandfather came here, and then my father followed him right after the war, the First World War. And he stayed here, and then he sent for us. He was here about...
Your grandfather sent for you?
No, my father.
Oh.
See, then my grandfather went back to Europe, but my father stayed here to make some money.
I see. So he wasn't traveling with you when you actually went?
No,
came.
But he came. My mother didn't want to come to this country. So he wasn't supposed to come, but he wrote to my mother, and he said, if you don't want to come with me to America, he already had gotten his half-citizen papers. See, them days, you had to be here so many years before you get your citizen papers, and then you could send for the rest of your family. He had gotten them, and he sent for my mother and us two girls. My mother didn't want to come. She wanted to stay in Europe. So my father said, well, if you don't want to come, I'm taking my two girls, and you can do what you want. You can stay with my father and mother. This is what my mother told me. I don't remember that, you know.
What do you remember why your mother did not want to come?
Because my grandfather wanted, they figured that if my mother came here with us two girls, she would never see us again, which she didn't. They both, my grandfather and my grandparents didn't. We never went back. And they never saw my mother. And that's why, and I guess my grandfather and grandmother talked her into it. And she had bought a lovely home, which I have two sisters that are there right now. They're going to go see this home. And my grandfather made her buy this home, thinking, well, she won't go now because the house is here, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what my father told her. So then when my father came, she wasn't packed or nothing. And she figured, well, I better go with my husband and my children, because he was going to take us regardless if she wanted to come or not.
Do you remember when your father came back? Can you remember him coming back from America when you were still...
Yeah, when he picked us up.
Yeah,
I remember. I guess from Naples, that's where the boat left him. And then he had to get a train, and then... He came by horse and buggy to where we were staying, you know, in the small town with my grandfather and grandmother.
And did you remember him?
Yes. Oh, yes. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember I had long hair. So he came and he said, this hair's got to come off because in America, they wear short hair. So my grandmother was crying because he had cut my hair. And guess what? When I went there in 1971, one of my uncles, he said to me, you know what? Your grandmother had that hair in a newspaper till last year. He said, and then we threw it out because she was gone. She was gone. She died during the war, the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a 7-year-old girl before you actually came here? What kind of a little girl were you?
I used to squeal on my uncles because they were smoking in the barn, and my grandmother would say to me, go take a look and tell me if they're smoking. So I would go and tell her. So then my uncles were, you know, they would be mad at me because I told my grandmother that they were smoking.
Do you remember any celebrations or festivals or anything
Yes.
over there?
My mother made a vow that if my father would come back safe from the war, we would go visit the shrine. They call it Monza Vergine. Every year, as long as she could. And I would go with my mother. I was a little girl, and my uncle, we had to walk. I don't know how many miles it was, but it was a long, all night we walked to the shrine. And my uncle, one of my uncles, would come with my mother and my grandmother, and they would carry me. I would get on their back, and they would carry me, because you weren't supposed to. That was the vow my mother made and my grandmother made. And we did that. I remember, I must have been about maybe, well, I was about 5 years old when I remember this. And you go over there, and like on the side, on each side as you're going to the shrine, there was all these crippled people with no legs and all that had made this. You know, it's like a devotion, and I was afraid. Mm-hmm. And my uncle would say, they're not going to hurt you. And I said, but I'm still afraid. So he would pick me up and carry me on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember, was your family religious?
Yes, very religious. Well, my mother's brother was a priest.
Right.
And my grandfather went to church every Sunday, and I went with him. And my grandmother and my mother would go. And then I wouldn't go with them, but I had to go with my grandfather because he bought me the nuts. Then he was, on the way home, they would stop and have coffee and outside tables. There's a little black coffee, him and his politician friends.
Do you remember anything like about the coffee place, about the men and what they talked about, anything?
Well,
like
I don't remember what they talked about. No, I was too little, I guess. But, I remember him buying. He had to buy the mess before I went to church.
Uh-huh. And do you remember anything else about the town? Like, yeah, it was shops or market day?
There was no shops. I don't remember shops. There was one drugstore, but you had to go, like, to me it was far, you know, like a couple of miles, I would say, to get medicine or something. And there was no doctors in there. It was just a small village, really. Mm-hmm. It was just a village, and very rocky, all rocks.
And how did you get around?
Walk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember my grandfather, he used to go to Naples every year for mud baths because he had rheumatism so bad. But he would be gone like a couple of weeks. And I remember him going in this horse and carriage, you know. But there was one thing that I remember. This man with the horse and buggy, he would come with bales of, material. And my mother would buy, and my grandmother would buy this material, and my mother, and then my grandmother said, now what would you like, you know? And I would, you know, pick out the material I wanted her to make me a dress with. I was little. I must have been a pistol. And my mother would make me the dress. He would come like maybe once a year or something like that. Oh. Yeah.
And was there a market day in your town?
Yes, they used to call the market. The people used to bring their things there, like vegetables and, like my grandfather would kill this pig, you know, like around, I don't know when it was, but it was cold. Out there, it wasn't too cold like it would be here. And then they would bring this hams and thing. They would make the cheese, you know, and they'd smoke it. And this hams, they would smoke it. They'd be hanging near the fireplace. And I fell in the fireplace sometimes because I was too nosy.
You mean the ham was smoking?
Yeah, well, I was sitting there with my grandfather and near the fireplace because that was the only type of heat. But it didn't get that cold there. Mm-hmm. And all we had was the shawls that my grandmother used to knit for us. We didn't have a coat. And I was sitting there playing, and my grandfather, I remember him reading. And he said to my grandmother, he says, you better watch her. She's going to fall in this fire. Sure enough, I did. I still got the mark over here someplace. I fell my hands, and after that, I couldn't sit near the fireplace no more. But I remember the hams, and my grandmother had a big oven in her kitchen, and she used to bake bread. I remember that. I remember her taking the bread out with this big, long thing. Mm-hmm. And then on Easter time, she would make this egg bread, and she would make me and my sister a little bunny. Or a little chick, you know. She'd shape it out herself.
Out of bread.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and for Christmas, you know what we got?
No.
Dried prunes, dried figs, dried fruit. And she would put in a little basket, and that was our Christmas present.
Well, did you believe in Santa Claus?
No. I didn't know what Santa Claus was until I got to this country.
Uh-huh. Do you remember the religious festivities around Christmas or Easter?
No, I don't remember. No, I don't remember that.
And do you remember any other things that your grandmother or your mother cooked or baked?
Well, I remember her baking bread, and I remember her making soup and spaghetti, of course, you know. And I remember her going to this farm, and they would pick the tomatoes, but their tomatoes are real small. And they'd had long bottles, like, and she would have a funnel, and she put these tomatoes in this bottle, through the funnel, and then top them with something that I remember, and then they would be boiled in this big, outside, in this big, round, like a big pot. And them days, it was big. I remember that. Uh-huh. And I remember then when they got the wheat, and they put it on this concrete, it was like...
Like a platform?
Yeah, and they would beat it, the wheat.
What would they beat it with?
They would beat it with like long, like tree things from the trees. That's how I remember it, branches. And they would beat it, and then they would take the straw, you know, out, and then they would collect the wheat. And then they would I remember taking it down to the mill to have it ground up to make flour. Because I would go with my grandmother.
Anything else? What about social life there? What do people do for fun and recreation?
I don't remember. Nothing, I guess. They just worked and went to church and gathered with the friends around there. That some of them came here with us. And that's all. But I do remember when they had a christening or something, I remember, like, my grandfather played the accordion. And I remember that. But
remember?
Not very good.
Yeah, do you remember any songs from then?
No, I don't remember that. No.
And dancing? How about that?
Oh, they used to dance, all right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mother was a great dancer, so was my father. Yeah.
And how about you as a child? Do you remember playing games, or did you have friends that you...
Well, we had a few friends. I had a few friends, but like I said, not too many. And then I remember going to a private school. I remember that.
A Catholic school?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Catholic, but I didn't go there very long because then we came to this mm-hmm. country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
So you had cousins around? And?
Oh, I have a bunch of cousins. But and at the time I came, no. We were my sister and I were the only two grandchildren.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the rest of them, just my father was married. And, of course, I had, on my mother's side, my uncle was a priest. And I have an aunt that lived in Naples, and her husband had passed away. And she had, a boy was born to them with her husband. Her husband was killed in the service. And so this little boy, she remarried. This little boy didn't want to go back to his mother. And they stayed with my grandmother and the priest, and he went to college. He became a doctor. He just died 2 years ago.
Wow.
He was, I think he was about 6 years older than I.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you remember then when your father came back to Italy to bring your mother and you and your sister over? What happened? They didn't sell the house. They kept the house?
Oh, the house is still there. Mm-hmm. In fact, we gave it to my uncle. Yeah, the house stayed there. They came back. And
your uncle the priest?
Or no, my uncle the priest died when he was very young. The uncle that's still living now on my father's side, because that's where the house is, in the little village.
Could you describe that house?
Well, when I went back in 1971, my uncle had it all remodeled, and you wouldn't believe it was beautiful. It's beautiful. In fact, my two sisters are going to go see it now.
Well, can you remember what it was like when you were a little girl?
Yes, it's all. It was like, it was built like under a mountain. It's all made out of rocks. And on the first floor, there was a big oven there.
A stone oven.
Uh-huh. Where my father, he wanted to be a baker. And she figured when he comes home, he's going to start this baking business, you know. And then upstairs, I remember going through, like, steps, steep steps, and there was this huge, big room. That's all I can remember there.
Was that a sleeping area upstairs?
Upstairs was a sleeping area, yeah. And downstairs was, like, a kitchen and this big oven. That's all I can remember. But now that I went back, it's all remodeled. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember your mother packing things to take?
Well, I remember her she wanted to bring her mattress, which was handmade. And
what was it made out of?
It was made out of wool. They had sheep. Oh. And every year they would, I remember that too, when they used to do the sheep, take the wool out.
You describe whatever you can remember.
Well, I remember my grandmother, she would shear the sheep. But I don't remember what they did with the wool, but I remember the mattress was made out of the sheep wool, and she wanted to keep it, and it was all tufts and everything. So I remember my grandmother helping my mother. They folded this thing up, and they tied it with a rope, and then my grandmother put another piece of cloth, like a bag. I remember that, and that was it.
And so it came over in
And it came
bag.
Over, my mother brought it to America. Yeah.
And what else did she take with you?
She took some copper pots and pans. In fact, we had little dishes made out of copper. And my mother had them. Maybe they're down in still or someplace. You can't find them. My sister and I had one little dish that was ours. And she brought them and some silverware, you know, and she brought all her sheets and pillowcases that she made. Mm-hmm. My mother made herself. Towels, linen towels. They didn't have like we have here. They were made out of linen, the towels.
You mean not dish towels? You mean regular
towels? Regular towels and dish towels also. She brought all the you know, the things from here, from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And personal things? I mean, did your mother make clothing?
Yes, my mother made all our clothes, underwear and everything. And my grandmother knitted our stockings.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember
they were
that.
Made out of wool?
Yeah, out of wool stockings, and she knitted our shawls. We didn't have a coat. But when my father came to this country, he knew that when we were going to come here, it was going to be cold, so he brought my sister and I, my mother, a coat.
You mean he brought it from America back
yes.
to Italy?
Yes, we could wear it when we came over. Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember leaving? Do you remember, like, what did people see you off? Or how?
Yes, my grandfather came with us. My grandfather, we left the day before because had to make the ship in Naples. My grandfather came with us, and we got in the horse and buggy, rode into Naples. It would be about an hour's ride. And there, overnight, we stayed with my aunt on my mother's side. We stayed there overnight. And then the next day, and my grandfather stayed there too, and he bought my sister and I big dolls.
You remember, can you describe the doll you had?
I remember the dolls. And then the next day we had to make this boat. And I remember my aunt waving to us and my grandfather, and he was crying and hugging us. Yeah, I remember that. Mm. And never saw him anymore. Mm. Yeah.
Do you remember your mother or father telling you anything about America or... what you might expect to find?
My father, no, I don't remember any, but all I remember here, when we landed in Ellis Island, then we had to wait.
Wait, before we talk about Ellis Island, tell about the name of the ship and anything you remember about the voyage.
Oh, yes. The name of the ship was Conta Rosa. And what else now? And I remember we had to... We slept on bunk beds, the men on one side, and I was wondering, how come my father isn't coming over to see? But they were allowed only once a day to come and see us or whatever. I didn't see much of him and the ladies on the other side. And we had to climb this little ladder, and we were like on the top bunk, the three of us, in I don't know how many bunks, but I don't remember eating anything because my mother didn't like anything, she couldn't eat anything, but this one day, they were making chicken soup, and my mother said, maybe I could eat some chicken soup, and we went, like, it was like a dining area with these long, long tables, and the soup was put in our plate, and all of at once, the boat tipped, and all the, so we didn't have no chicken soup, but my grandmother had packed cheese, and she had made biscuits, cheese and biscuits, and all kind of dried fruit, and that's what we ate for 17 days. Mm-hmm. That my mother told me that. I remember that, but I remember the biscuits, and I remember the cheese that and salami. I remember that.
Do you remember anything going around on the boat on the ship at all?
Yeah, but. The toilets, they were like, I remember a pipe, and my mother would take us every morning. I remember little sinks in the bathroom, I guess it was supposed to be. And this water came out of this pipe, and she would wash a sponge bath, you know, and she would change our clothes. And then we would go back, and then it was so dirty, the ship was so dirty, that my mother wouldn't allow us to walk around. So we would go up into the
deck.
to the to the where we slept, and that's what.
Oh, to the bunk.
To the bunk. Mm-hmm. So we were on the bottom. We came third class. Mm-hmm. You know, we were. My father could even afford a first class. So we, and then yes, I remember that. But the facilities were. I remember being dirty. My mother said, "Don't you go there." In fact, the day that we were supposed to arrive, well, my mother dressed us up, we're going to arrive, we're going to see relatives in the hall waiting for us, and she put big hair ribbons in our head and a beautiful dress. Well, me, I didn't listen. I went down, and I fell in a puddle of urine. My mother gave it to me because she didn't have nothing else to put on me. She said, "What am I going to do now?" My sister listened to my, she was 3 and a half, she had to hold on to her. But me, I was smart, I was going to go play with the other kids down there.
Yeah. Do you remember when the ship came into the New York Harbor?
That I don't remember. I just remember Ellis Island and being out in the cold there, and it was cold.
Okay, what were your impressions then of Ellis Island?
Well, I remember it was like a long walk, but it was made out of wood. And there was, on the side, like there was things to hold on, And I remember my mother, she was tired, I guess, and cold, waiting for my father. We had all gotten examined, and my mother and I, and my sister. And then my father, what held them back, I don't know, if it was some luggage he had to get or something. And I remember sitting outside on benches, and it was so cold, and I could see the water. And then after that, I remember too clearly, it was getting dark already, and I remember coming into to Bound Brook. We got on the train.
Well, do you remember anything about the examination you had?
Oh, yeah, they examined us in our ears and all, and at that time, we did have a earache, both of us.
Were you detained?
No, we weren't detained for an earache, but because our chest was clear and all, they looked in our head if we had lice. That, if they had, you had lice, they had to be cleared off before you came, they got off the boat. And, but we weren't, just our ears were a little infected. I remember having an earache anyway, but that didn't detain us, no.
Then how did you go? Do you remember leaving Ellis Island and getting to Bound Brook?
That, I don't remember leaving Ellis Island, but I remember getting to Bound Brook. We got on a train, and then our relatives met us here in Bound Brook.
And who was that?
My uncle. But he's dead now.
What was his name?
His name was Benjamin Perrone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember that. And I remember from the train station here in Bound Brook, we walked, and there used to be a drugstore called D'Angelo's Drugstore. My uncle took us in there, and I don't remember if he bought us something, but we walked all about a mile to where they lived on Fisher Avenue. And we stayed with them for a month until my father could find rooms.
Wow. Will you say that again, the avenue, the name of the avenue?
Fisher Avenue. Fisher, uh-huh. Fisher Avenue, and that's, remember, all the family met us there, And, we stayed with them for a month until my father found an apartment,
Do you remember any of your early impressions of this country, things that struck you as new or different that you'd never seen before?
Well, the schools. To me, they were so big.
Did you start school right away?
A month after, March 1st, I started. And I didn't go into kindergarten. They put me in first grade. And I didn't know the language, but I got by. And I remember going, it wasn't too far from where we lived, going to school.
How was the school here different from the school you had been?
Well, I didn't go in Italy too much, but the school in Italy was just a room. And there was a teacher. I remember a teacher, and of course I was, maybe I must have been about 5 years old when I started, And...
The school in Italy had all different grades in the same room?
No, I just remember one room. One
grade?
Room, yeah, one room. That's all it was.
And all the children were about your age?
Now that I don't remember. It was a private school.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody didn't go to school. Yeah, but my my mother, you know, enrolled me into it.
Do you remember any of your teachers after you got here?
Oh yeah, I remember Miss Main and Miss Wilson, and in fact, one of them just died not too long ago.
Uh-huh. And how were they to you? Were you struggling very with the language and everything?
No, they got along very well. Mm-hmm. One time I remember I got mad because one of the teacher said something about a WAP. So I went home crying because I didn't know what WAP meant. It wasn't bad anyway. And my father marched in school. Don't you call my daughter a wife. Yeah, but otherwise I didn't have no problem.
Were there other children who were coming from Europe in your school? Do you remember, were there many others that were also coming
See,
here?
A lot of our, that came in with us, they lived in Staten Island. Oh, mm-hmm. From when they got off Ellis Island, they went into Staten Island, our relatives.
Oh, you had relatives on the same ship?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
You remember Kavasi?
Is that the last name?
Kavasi.
Kavasi.
Yeah. Now I don't know if he. We seen him about. You know, he was here, maybe 15, 20 years ago, and we haven't heard anymore. Most of them are gone because they were up in age, you know, but their children might still be around. But we didn't get in contact with them.
So what was it? A mother, father, and several children that were your relatives that were on the same
There was
ship?
The mother, the father, and I think it was two children that came.
Oh,
Yeah, that's all I can remember.
And it's
C-A-F-F-E-S-S-A, Kavasi.
Uh-huh. And how were they related to you?
Through my father. I think they were cousins of my father.
Mm-hmm. So, did you have any experiences that you remember when you were learning English?
Well, I don't remember that it was so hard. Yeah, I went through till the eighth grade. I didn't go to high school. Mm-hmm. I graduated eighth grade, then I had to go to work because my mother, you know, had such a big family and worked in a sewing factory.
So,
but I didn't have no problem. I seemed to get into it. You know, I had a lot of friends, and in fact, last night I went to Angie Buna's house. They picked me up, and we were there at 11 o'clock. One of my friends that I've known since I came to Europe, and she, we were in the same grade together, first grade, right through. And we were talking because I told her about you, you know, and she says, oh, she's let me know how you're making out because we've been so busy. But a lot of them are gone. A lot of my friends that I went through school with. And we always stuck together. Yeah.
This friend also came from?
No,
here?
No. She was born here. And she lived on Fisher Avenue.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that's how we met. And then we used to walk to school from the apartment where my father rented this apartment. It was only a block away from where we were staying with my uncle and aunt. And she lived on the street. And in fact, one of her brothers, this friend's brother, married one of my friends. We're friends today. Martha. Okay. And we're still friends.
That's wonderful.
So many years. Yeah.
So, let's see. How did your mother like it? I mean, she didn't want to come.
She cried a lot. She missed her parents and, you know, she missed being there. But then I guess she had one kid after another that she had to forget about.
So how many children did your mother have after
nine.
She came here?
I'm the oldest of nine children. He's the youngest. And we are all living. Thank God. But my father and mother died. My father was only 64. My mother, 78. Yeah, when she died. But she was a sickly woman. She was always sick.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did your father do when the family came here?
My father worked in John's Manville, which now it closed. It was in an asbestos plant. He worked there. Then later on, they were laying off there. And he went to work he was working as a caretaker on one of the, for some rich people. He used to take care of their estate and everything, the farm, not the farm, whatever, the flowers and all. He was a gardener.
Uh-huh.
His trade was a garden, and then it was up on 22 now. When they made the 22 highway, they didn't want to be near the highway, so they let my father go, and my father went to American Cyan, which is part of it is there, but he worked there for a while.
American
Cyanamen.
Calco.
It was called Calco. And then it was sold to American Cyanamen. And he used to go to, we used to live down the West End, and to get to where he worked, you know, for these rich people, he would ride his bike with a little box in the back, and that's where he kept his lunch.
Do you remember the Depression?
Do I remember?
How did that affect you and your family?
Well, it affected us very bad because my father, there was no work. So I remember him working in front of this house. The road was being built and in a ditch, and it was winter time, and my mother would pack a hot lunch for him, and I would walk from all the way, mile away, to bring us his lunch, would be hot coffee and lunch. I'm right in front of his house. He worked. He raised his family, and he would never go on welfare. I got a beating and a half because some lady said to my mother, you know, she said, a lot of people are getting things from their welfare. She says, why don't you go? Maybe you could get, you know, some flour or something. So my mother wouldn't go. But this woman that was friend of my mother, she said, I'll take her. She'll come with me. And I went. So they gave you $5. So with this $5, we bought flour and all, and we loved pineapple in a can. So I bought this pineapple. My mother says, well, get a can of pineapple. And we were having pineapple for dessert that night for supper. And my father says, where does this pineapple come from? Where did you buy it? See, my mother wouldn't tell my father that I got from welfare. So I had to come out. So I got a beating. Don't you ever go for it to the welfare. Who told you to go? Don't you ever. I'm going to work and I'm going to make, your mother makes bread and your mother makes soup and that's what you're going to eat. He would never go on welfare. Yeah.
So what was your first job after you finished school?
In a sewing factory. Mm-hmm. And I was only 14 years old. So they couldn't put me on a sewing machine. So I used to, you know, the girls would sew the they were making little boys' suits at that time. And they would sew them, and they would come to this big long table, and that's where most of my friends worked too. And we would clean them, all the strings, cut the strings off, and like fold them, and then bring them to the pressers. And they would press them, and then they would be packed and sent out. That's until I was 16. When I was 16, I start working on a sewing machine. And then from there, they used to call it the 2 cent shop, and believe me, that's all you made, 2 cents. I was making like $7 a week, but that was a good help for my mother. I went to this bigger place to work in Giddings where they made dresses for chubbette girls like me. In fact, I was modeling them.
Saying that, but you don't look that
young. Yeah, I went. Always a little sloppy. And anyway, I went there to work, and I was making better money, and things started to get better for us then. Uh-huh. Yeah, then my sister, this one, she came to work with me. I got her job in this nicer place, and she was making more money than I was because she was working on a special machine.
did a lot of the family go into the sewing industry?
Sister and I, that's just, it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Then things got a little bit better, and then my brothers, then the war broke out, and my brothers went to war, and then my oldest brother is a teacher, and then I have another one, that one in Florida that's a teacher, and he's a teacher. He was a principal. And then my two sisters, this one, she worked in a sewing factory with me. But my two sisters, they went to high school, and one is a beautician. And that's it. And one was a policeman. One of my brothers was a policeman. The other one's a plumber.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you meet your husband?
My husband was from Chicago. And he came out here with, at that time they called them Bakelite, and now it's Union Carbide. And he stayed with his brother next door to where I lived. And, we had well water then. We could pump. And the excuse that he wanted well water, he used to come to get the well water in my father's place. And he met me, and my father was mad because he was in our nationality. No, he was a Lithuanian, and I was Italian. So we'd stop and talk, and then my father would, you don't talk to him, and this and that. And so then when my father used to make me mad because I couldn't go out, I was kept very strict, I used to say, you know what, if you make me mad enough, I'm going to marry the Polak next door. He said, if you marry that Polak next door, I'm going to cut your legs off. I married the Polak next
door. How did your father take that?
Well, at first, he didn't like him, but then he was my husband's, my father's best friend. Yeah. And that's how we got married.
Wow. Now, was your husband also from Lithuania, or he was born
no,
here?
No, my husband was born here. Uh-huh. Yeah, but his brother was born in Lithuania, and his father and mother came here also from Lithuania. And they lived in Chicago, like I said, and they had a hard life. My husband was only 4 years old when his father died. So he had a hard life, too.
And what was your husband's name?
Anthony Savage. Well, his name was Oasis. When his father came to this country, he changed it to Savage. He said it was more Americanized. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you have children?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
I have three.
And what are their names?
My daughter's Joanne, and then I had two sons. One passed away, the one that picture's there. 31 years old, he passed away. He's a school teacher. And then I have another one that's in Missouri right now, or else he would have been here. His name is Anthony, after my husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have grandchildren?
Mm-hmm. Eight grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. When you look back on the fact that you came here as a seven-year-old, do you feel like... it made a difference to you as a person in your life, the fact that you had come here as an immigrant, as a little girl, and then grew up here? Do you think that...
No, I just sort of fitted in with all my friends, and I had plenty of friends, and I still do. And I just went along, you know. After school, I couldn't go out and play with... my other friends because I had to come home and mind the other kids and do chores. So I couldn't go, you know, once in a while, you know, I could, but not very often. It was very hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What makes you feel satisfied that you've done in your lifetime? What makes you feel good?
Well, I got wonderful brothers and sisters and wonderful family. And I'm happy. The only thing is my husband passed away and my son, but other than that, I feel very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My kids are good to me. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, I'm at home, they call the...
Well, sometimes she doesn't...
you want to add your 2 cents? Go ahead.
Well, because we're always... concerned about her.
Yeah.
She's done so much for all of us in the family. I, as a matter of fact, as a youngster, lived with her because my mom and dad were both sick. And sometimes she just takes off.
I don't take off. I go see my friends.
In touch with her, and next thing you know, my other brothers are calling me up. You better run over there right away and see what's going on.
See if she's all right.
But
just like last night, Angie Buna called me up. She said, Marie, my daughter's picking you up. You're coming to my house. So I went. I didn't get home from 6:30 to 11 o'clock.
You're lucky we didn't call her.
Otherwise, my other brother would call me up, go see where Carmela is.
Oh, about a month ago, same was at the police. They almost called the police. But it's good to know that they care.
Yes. Tell me about your mother and father and you. Did you carry on any of the ways from the old country after you got here? Were there certain things that you tried to keep hold on to that were of the old country?
No, my mother, my father would say to us, speak to your mother in English after we went to school and all, you know. But I still know my Italian. I can speak very well Italian. But we were very well...
Americanized?
Americanized. You know, we went along, like, in school. We tried to do the things that the other kids did. I did, anyway, and my sister did, too. And then, of course, they were born here. But I don't remember having any problems. I just I fitted in with the parades they used to have and kept up with my friends, and we did little things together. But my father would say, now speak to your mother in English, this way she'll learn. And my mother did learn very quickly, and she knew, she understood, and she could even read in English. She was a very smart woman. Yeah.
Was there a large Italian community here in Bangor?
Yes, yes, there was. And they all were friends. And like when they had babies, they didn't go to hospital. They had the babies at home. One would help the other. They would take care of the other little kids, and they would help with the washing. There was no washing machine for a long time. And they would cook and all until my mother was able to take care of us. Yeah, that's how it was them days. People just dipped in and helped. Mm-hmm. And if somebody had a lot of problems, like sickness in the family, they would all help one another. Yeah. And you weren't as scared to go out like you are today. It was nice. And on Sundays, you know, it was our time, my mother and father's pastime. They would all come to our house because my mother had so many kids. And the ladies would just sit and talk over a cup of coffee. And the men, my father had a what are they called,
bocce
court in the backyard, and the men would play bocce, and that was the thing that they did.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, aside from those cousins of your father, did you know other people from the old country?
Oh yeah.
Did your family know them from before?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah, some of them that came, like I said, some of them that live in Staten Island. And later on, maybe about 5 or 6 years later, I have friends that came here. One of them was 9 years old when she came. I tried to get in contact with her. I don't know whether she came through Ellis Island or not. In fact, her brother was born the day after they arrived in this country, and they named him Americo. And her husband passed away also. She's 75 years old now, and she's out in Texas with one of her grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't get in contact because I was going to tell you today, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you think about coming here? I mean, can you imagine what your life would have been like, or how different it would have been had you stayed in Italy?
Well, I don't know. I think this would. My father brought us here for a better living.
Uh-huh.
You
so
know,
you
he wanted us to get an education. I didn't get any. I wanted to be a nurse, but they couldn't afford to send me with the depression and all. Mm-hmm. But of course, my brothers did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sister could have went. She didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to go to high school, and she didn't want no part of it. Mm-hmm. But I did want to be a nurse. But there was no means.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
friends, like you mentioned a little bit, you have so many friends that go back a ways. But how is this period of your life? Your after your retirement, and how is it for you?
It's good. I can't. I have no regrets. And like I said, my husband's gone 5 years, but he was a good husband, and he provided for us. And He always, this house was always, everybody had trouble. It was always open for anybody. In fact, when the children got married, I wanted to sell the house and go to a smaller place. And he said to me, now, what are you going to do when your relatives come and visit? Where are we going to put them? Is that true?
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
That's what, that's, you know, yeah. That's how it was. So he always, this house was always open for, well, the relatives, when they still come from Europe or any place, they come here all the time.
So over the years, you kept up with relatives from your town?
Yeah, from my town. And we have people in New Brunswick. This person in New Brunswick, she passed away now, but she lived next door to us in Europe. And she wanted to be my sponsor for a confirmation. And then she came to America, and she said to my mother, I'm still going to be her sponsor, she said, by proxy. And before you know it, we came over here, and she was my mom. And she has children that I'm very good friends with them. And I stayed during the Depression. There was no work in Bound Brook. I went to work in a fuse factory in New Brunswick, and I stayed at her house, and her husband would take me home on weekends.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She was like a mother to me. And Mrs. Palumbi.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mrs. Palumbi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why
I say one help, you know.
One help the other.
Yeah, they always helped out.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you can think of that we might not have covered about the old country, coming here, or living your life out here?
How about the story that we wrote on?
Wait, I'm going to pause here for a
second. We were on Ellis Island here, and we were waiting for my father to come. We were sitting on a bench, like I told you. My sister was crying that her legs were so cold because we had long stockings and a coat, but she was crying. She was very, very cold. So my mother found an old piece of fake fur. It was on the ground. So she took that and she wrapped it around my sister's legs. I remember that. But I was busy walking around. I didn't feel the cold that much. But she was sitting on my mother's lap. She was little, you know? Yeah. Because we didn't think, my mother didn't think it was this cold, and my father brought us the cold. We had long woolen socks on, stockings on, but that's how it was. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you very much for a very interesting interview, and you may have been poor at some time, but it sounds like your life is
well,
very
I'm,
rich.
I'm leaving. I'm not rich, but I'm getting along,
well, I mean,
and I have my wonderful family. All I have to say, help out, and they're here, right. All of them.
Yeah, that's how I meant it. That's
yes, they're here. My children are very good to me, and I have a lot to look forward to. I'm not in need of anything, and my husband was very good to me, and all my family too. You know, he was always here for us all. So I have no regrets really, and I'm happy I met him, and we had a good life together.
Okay.
We had fights.
You're human after all. Okay, this is Janet Levine for the National Park Service, and I've been speaking with Carmela Savage on September 29, 1995 in Bound Brook, New Jersey, and I'm signing off.